Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Today's episode of Elevating Motherhood is sponsored by Blossom and Root, a nature-based Charlotte Mason-inspired homeschool curriculum company that has been gently guiding and supporting families for years. This thoughtful, age-appropriate curriculum begins at the preschool level with options all the way up to fifth grade, with more grade levels being released each year. Christina Garner, the creator of Blossom and Root, also has unit studies she calls book seeds available on her site, which are deep dives into beautiful nature-based books. It's one of my favorite things about her curriculum, along with her incredible book lists for each grade. You can find out more about the inspiration behind Blossom and Root and why Christina created it in episode 16. Blossom and Root is one of the homeschool curriculums my family uses and loves. The information and ideas are easy to follow, fun, and engaging. If you're new to homeschool or are simply looking for an inspiring homeschool curriculum to help you lovingly teach and guide your children, I highly recommend Blossom and Root. Using this curriculum has brought so much connection and joy to my family's homeschool days. I love it, my kids love it, and I think you'll love it too. Blossom and Root has generously offered a discount code for listeners of Elevating Motherhood. Use the code LoriBeth10, LoriBeth10 at checkout for 10% off your order. For more information about Blossom and Root, head over to elevatingmotherhood.com/homeschool. That's elevatingmotherhood.com/homeschool. Today's episode is sponsored by Homeschool Explained, an online course I created to help parents find their confidence as they begin their homeschool journey. This course is designed to save you time. No more maddening online searches for how to start homeschooling. This is me holding your hand and walking you through Homeschool 101 in just under 3 hours. That's it. 3 hours of video tutorial plus a downloadable PDF. I used to teach in-person workshops when I lived on Maui to help families gather all the information and resources they needed, answer all their questions, alleviate concerns, and help them get organized as they started homeschooling. Homeschool Explained is the online version of those workshops. I totally get it. Starting any new journey can be really overwhelming, especially when it comes to rethinking how your kids are going to get an education and that you are going to be the teacher. But don't worry, there is so much support and freedom in homeschooling. It's doable, it's fun, and it takes way less time than most people think. I put over 15 years of homeschool experience and insights into this easy-to-follow, easy-to-use online course that answers common questions, helps you work through worries, and saves you time. No more internet search overload. This is all the info you need to get started homeschooling today from a trusted, experienced source. In Homeschool Explained, I show you what modern homeschool days actually look like, all while covering major topics like curriculum, homeschool styles, subjects to teach, cost, state laws, socialization, and so much more. This course takes the guesswork out of where and how to begin and leaves you with solid support and resources from day one. I would be honored to help you start your homeschool journey. Find out more at homeschoolexplained.com. That's homeschoolexplained.com. Aloha, friends. It is mid-November, but I wanted to circle back around to Halloween 2022. I had recorded that podcast episode about what it is we were doing for Halloween this year and kind of questioning whether or not our family should even be celebrating it and really taking a deep dive into that we're like a medium-sized dive into that in our family and figure out what it is we wanted to do, if Halloween felt important to us or not. Basically, it was a way for me to look at our life and see if our actions and our values were aligning, because something was telling me it's a little bit off when it comes to Halloween. So we sat down and thought about it, talked about it, and came up with a solution. The reason I want to do a follow-up episode to this is because I talk about all the time how important self-reflection is, and I wanted to do that in real time. I feel like it's really important to not just talk about ideas or plans, but then take the time for self-reflection after an event to see how it is you're feeling, because life tempts us to just live it at this breakneck pace. Our culture is like, go, 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 on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. And if you need examples of this, just go to any store. The decorations are out, man. They're like ushering you into the next holiday at this breakneck pace. And just, I think that it would benefit us and our families and us as moms, especially, to just take that time to reflect, even if it is a couple weeks after the event, just decompressing, seeing how it is we actually felt about it, and then moving forward from there, just having that peace of mind that self-reflection brings. Because mamas set the tone in their house, and sometimes it can feel really out of control to plan, and then the day comes, and then the plan usually goes out the window. For me, on actual Halloween day, there were some frantic moments, especially when it came to preparing six of us to get out the door and make sure that we had everything. Everyone had their costumes and their bags and the details with their costumes, and the wagon and the baby and just drinks. Did we want drinks? One note for next year, I will say in this moment of self-reflection, is that I saw other grown-ups walking around with like coffees and hot chocolates, and I thought that was brilliant, and that if we decide to trick-or-treat next year is definitely going to be one of the top things on my list of like warm beverages for the grown-ups. So we did get out the door on time, just barely, but there was some like harumphing on my part for sure, just trying to manage all the last minute details. But all in all, I would say that the holiday went well in general. It just felt like it lasted forever for sure. And since we're shifting the focus away from like Halloween and more of like harvest festivals and harvest time and autumn and the season rather than the actual holiday of just Halloween, it felt like it went on forever and ever and ever. Like by the end of it, I was pretty harvest festivaled out. I'm not going to lie. I loved it. I appreciated it. I don't regret going to the ones that we went to, but when there was the suggestion that we go to our town's really big one, I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. I don't need any more pumpkin anything, and I don't need to see any more pumpkins or really like celebrate fall that is still all around us. Instead, I've had my fill. We're done. We'll just do something else that day. And we did. But just as a quick recap, my goals that I had set for Halloween this year for our family were to wean off of Halloween traditions like trick-or-treating by just kind of doing trick-or-treating light this year. We did the switch-witch where our kids switch out their candy for a toy that they chose beforehand. We went to harvest festivals and parties, like private parties over big, huge mainstream celebrations. We did heirloom costumes this year. If you remember, I got tons of messages about those, and the link to those is up on the website under the Halloween episode show notes. We made sure that there wasn't any dark imagery in any of our costumes, which felt important to us. We had the goal of celebrating with neighbors and making it clear that we would use our discernment as the parents and they were to follow our discernment and our directions without question. We talked openly about Halloween and spiritual warfare. We decided we were going to make pies instead of scary jack-o'-lanterns. We tried to remain aware of sweets consumption and ingredients in the foods that we were being offered and the foods we were eating instead of just blindly saying yes to everything because it was a holiday. And then we wanted to make it a point to set a good example for our kids, either with no costumes or innocent ones. And then me as the mom, I was really looking at our vitamin regimen, getting good sleep, and just taking care of our health in general. So those were my goals. How did it really go? Well, we had some wins in there. I would say all in all, Our plan of action was a good guideline. It definitely didn't go according to plan line by line, but here is what ended up happening. Me, as the mom, I am still upping our vitamin regimen and giving my kids fruit and veggie and berry gummies and antioxidants. And at the first sign of any sort of sniffle or cold or anything like that, I've been giving them Cold Snap, which is a Chinese herb blend that I get at the health food store. It's the closest thing to the herbal blend that I used to get from my Chinese herbalist on Maui. But Cold Snap here in the stores is definitely something worth looking at, because every time I've given it to them, one day of Cold Snap, so three times a day, two of the capsules three times a day, and it just knocks it out for the kids, and then they're not sick after that, which is awesome. I also make sure to feed them bone broth that day, some way, somehow. And since it's soup weather, like mega soup weather outside, there is snow on the ground and has been for quite a few days here, I make sure to make a nice chicken bone broth soup for lunch or dinner for them any days that they're feeling sick. We have been getting really good sleep. I mean, apart from me bed sharing and nursing a baby who's only 11 months. All in all, our sleep has been a focus and I've been keeping track of that. So that being said, the day after Halloween, instead of getting us all up and being like, okay, come on, let's get with the regular schedule, because we did go to sleep later and because we had a little more sugar that night, I definitely marked that the next day and let them sleep in. And the last kid to wake up that day woke up at like 10:30 in the morning, but I just kept telling myself, it's totally fine, it's totally fine, it's totally fine. It's better for her to catch up on that sleep now than it is to spend the entire week feeling like you need to catch up on that and just like carry that grogginess with you through the week. So we went super light on homeschool that day, if we did any at all, and just took it easy and had a recovery day, which is the beauty of homeschool and the beauty of working for ourselves for sure. Like the day after a major holiday and the fact that we can just decompress is gold. The Switch Witch went off without a hitch. Oh my gosh, they volunteered their candy up. We told them they could choose a couple of pieces. We didn't say how many, and all of them chose less than five. That was amazing. And then they just said, here, you can take the rest. I mean, they handed over their full-size candy bars. They got everything, and they were so thrilled with the toys. I am so happy we did it in a more organized way this year. And in mid-October, I said, what would you like? And here's your price point. And then they chose them, and they had a couple of weeks build up in anticipation of those toys that they chose, and they were thrilled. They actually said that they just wanted to go trick-or-treating so they could get the candy and switch it out because they wanted the toy, which kind of told me that they weren't necessarily all that interested in trick-or-treating all the way. They were just more interested in the toy, which is great, because if we're weaning off of holiday traditions, I think that that was a great way to do it. I heard back from quite a few of you that you did the Switch Witch this year, and that my tip that I had shared on Instagram about making sure that the toy was ready and there and available for the immediate switch also helped you. So I'm so grateful that that worked out for so many of you, because in the past I have kind of winged it and said, okay, well, we'll try to order something for, you know, Target pickup and we'll see if they have it. I mean, can you imagine the nightmare that would be 8 o'clock at night sitting in the Target parking lot going, I'm sorry, they didn't have your toy. So pre-planning on that one was a big win for many of us. We are still aware of our sweets consumption and the ingredients of the treats that we're eating. I feel like that's really important this time of year because we are just handed free everything this time of year. There's candy dishes out. We're just, oh my gosh, cookies, pies, cakes. There's so many different celebrations. And I definitely think there's a lot of things worth celebrating for sure. And if your family is anything like mine, you also have a lot of birthdays around this time of year. So just sweets after sweets after sweets after sweets is the temptation. So we just try to stay aware of it, not in a hyper vigilant way, but just to like, do we really need that treat today? Is there something we can make at home? Is there a healthier alternative? There's just so many ways to be aware of your sugar intake this time of year. I feel like that's really important because we're also drinking more sugar with things like hot chocolates and fancy coffees and peppermint mochas and things like that. So we bring it up with our kids, we talk about it and just note it so that it feels hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, all of parenting feels like a big experiment, but hopefully it feels like automatic, not in a judgmental way when they're older, but like, oh, gee, I had a hot chocolate today and then I had a donut for this, you know, treat after swimming. Do I need more sugar tonight or not? Because the world, man, they want to feed you sugar, and Halloween is like, I feel like that's what the holiday is all about, is nothing but sugar and giant, giant bags of sugar. But I didn't want to deny my kids that because it is a candy-based holiday. So I did buy some healthier peanut butter cup things from the store, and I let them have them the night of, and I let them have them a couple days after that. So it felt like they were getting the appropriate amount of sugar without a lot of junk ingredients. And they liked it, we liked it, and then once that little container that I bought was gone, it was gone, and then no one asked for more, begged for more, anything, and then we just moved on. So it really worked. Something interesting they did do was they wanted to try a few things. So they got older candies like Sugar Babies and Smarties and Fireballs and things like that. And so they asked if they could try some of them, and they wanted to know what they tasted like. And we told them what our memory was from our childhoods. And it had this really sweet conversation about, oh my gosh, do you remember this? And it felt really nostalgic for us, and it felt novel for them. So we let them try some things, and they spit most of it out. They didn't really enjoy it, but we let them try it, and that felt like a good compromise too. So even though they chose a few to keep and have, they were also super turned off by a lot of the candies in their bag. They're like, what are Airheads? And then they open it up and they're like, yuck, we don't want to eat that. And one of them did try it, and then her tongue turned blue, and she was like, man, I really wish my tongue wasn't blue. And she went and brushed her teeth before and tried to get it all off her tongue before she came back to try anymore, which is kind of funny. But there were things like green Snickers, and my kids were like, who is eating this? Who is falling for this? I'm like, I do not know. They will try to sell you anything. So it was a good lesson in marketing and consuming and whatnot. So it was lighthearted. It was fun. It's a lot of details, and I'm sure that many people think it might be a lot of overthinking, but our health is important. Our bodies are important. And it's, I feel like it's my job as the mom to teach my children well when it comes to candy and moderation and sugar, and sugar's genuine effect on the body. This isn't just something that's made up. Sugar does have an effect on our body, and it doesn't have a positive effect. And so the more that I can help them be aware of that, even now as kids, because they are capable and they do care about their bodies, I think it's a good thing. So all in all, even if it is a lot of details, it was basically a non-issue for us. They switched it out. They tried a few things. We moved on. Ta-da. So another goal that we did meet was setting a good example by doing no costumes. But I have to say, it feels like tooting our own horn, because I just didn't have it in me this year to do a costume. So I was not motivated to spend money on Halloween costumes for grown-ups. So we just put on some warm clothes, dressed up the kids, made it about them, and just moved on. But I will say, when I saw family costumes, it absolutely warmed my heart. So I don't know if my kids ever ask to do a family costume, I think I'll do it. But for now, I was totally on board with being a no costume mom. And the costumes that we chose for them were amazing. Those Keep linen capes are just awesome. The treasures from Jennifer Bows and Arrows, both of those things stay out in our playroom and are used every day. And that is so nice, because even though those were a little more expensive than the cheapy costumes you can get at Costco or whatnot, and you know, there's nothing wrong with those, I just got tired of having a pile of them. I have a pile of kids, which means every time that we would buy something like that, there would just be a pile of costumes, and our costume bin filled up very quickly, because we had so many kids that were interested in costumes. And I just was tired of them falling apart and not staying. And so to have these kind of heirloom quality pieces that they play with every day and are just become part of our homeschool feels like a major win and not a waste of money at all. We did talk openly about Halloween and differing opinions about it, as well as spiritual warfare in general with our kids. But I will say there is a dance around that. It was really hard to decide what to share, how much to share, what was the right way to share. I didn't want to scare the kids, but they also saw the dark imagery all around them and are like, who would put something so grotesque up? They didn't use the word grotesque, but that's totally what they meant. They just thought it was gross and weird and scary. And, you know, there's enough scary things in the world. Why do people want to scare people even more? And so we talked about it, but it was tricky. It was one of those tricky conversations, because spiritual warfare is real. And I don't want them to be so afraid, especially in childhood. But I do feel like families, especially, and including children, are subject to spiritual warfare. And so it is something to be aware of, and also not only just telling them about it, but how we can be a part of the light in all of that. So I talked to them about praying about it and God's role in spiritual warfare, and that we can lean into Him. And it did make them feel better, but I would be lying if I didn't say that I was like slightly disappointed in the direction that some of those conversations would go, because I felt like it did scare them and it did worry them, and that wasn't what I wanted to have happen. But also in the same time, I don't think you can really talk about darkness and spiritual warfare and not have there be some sort of like moment of realization of like, oh geez, it's real, it's hard, it's dark, yuck. So I guess that I had expectations that were unrealistic, because you can't talk about those things and then not expect a little bit of fear or worry to creep up. It's just a hard parenting moment. Try to avoid those, but I think that I'd rather them hear it from me than experience it firsthand or without any resources or without feeling like they can come to me to talk about it, you know? So we did not make pie from our pumpkins. We did not cook our pumpkins at all. We fed them to the chickens after we carved nice things in them at a friend's harvest party. And I don't know if you saw that meme going around that was super funny. That's like the Babylon Bee. And it was like, Jesus knows that all of your harvest parties are actually Halloween parties. And it cracked me up, because we definitely went to a harvest party that was meant to be in place of a Halloween party. And we carved pumpkins and did all kinds of fall things and ate chili and cornbread and pizza. And it was so delicious and nourishing. And we watched a movie outside till we couldn't stay outside anymore, and then finish the movie inside. And all in all, it was just a wonderful evening of fellowship and friendship and hanging out and feeling like we were celebrating with friends without any of the dark stuff. So that was really fun. But no, I did not Martha Stewart my pumpkins into pies at all, including the 41-pound pumpkin we came back with, which I don't know, I don't remember the last episode if I said I'm definitely setting a weight limit next year with the size of pumpkins my kids are allowed to bring home. I gave in this year because it was their first mainland pumpkin patch adventure, and wow, those pumpkins were impressive, and wow, they were big, and I was tempted by them too, but definitely, oh my gosh, it's either that or get more chickens, because that's a lot of pumpkin for them to eat. Our church's harvest festival was an absolute blast. It was so wholesome and so well organized, and there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there, but they spaced it out and had these really sweet games and were super generous with everything that they were handing out, from cotton candy to hot apple cider and hot chocolate, and they had bouncy castles and just a whole football field full of games. So fun. We will definitely be going back to that next year. Oh my gosh, it was so fun. So are we weaning off of Halloween activities? I don't know, because we had a ton of fun. And it was so fun doing an activity with our neighbors. I think it made me realize that I actually want to do just more adventures and more life with them. It just doesn't have to be trick-or-treating. So I will say a word on trick-or-treating, and this is the part that I really wanted to tell you about. As much as I was hesitant to do trick-or-treating, because I think it's really strange to walk up to total strangers' doors and be like, trick-or-treat, and they give you candy. Just were like, don't take candy from strangers, but it's okay to take candy from that stranger. I had a moment where I could not get over how beautiful it was. It was the peak of fall. The trees were red and gold, and then there was the evergreens, and we went to a neighborhood that was so beautiful, and the landscaping was all so beautiful. I felt like I was doing a nature study, or at least a landscaping idea walk in this neighborhood. Everything was so amazing. There were so many grandmas and grandpas opening the door just beside themselves. They could hardly wait for the kids to come through, and commented on their costumes and talked about how great they all were. And it was so pleasant to see all of our kids playing together and running from house to house together, and just squeals of joy and excitement. And oh my gosh, and their costumes were so cool. We had such a good time that I was like, what's wrong with this? This is so beautiful. This is so fun. Like, it is innocent. It is all these things that people say And why did I have an aversion for it? Because, man, this is so cool. We had nothing like that on Maui. This was, I mean, it was just the leaves and the weather and everything. So rain was forecasted too. I just want to mention that. So we went out kind of early and we're walking through and the kids were having a blast. And then we came to the creepy house, like the creepiest of creepy house with like the blood handprint smear decorations. There was a doll on a rocking horse with glowing eyes that was singing this super creepy lullaby, like terrifying imagery all over. And my kids, without hesitation, said, "I'm not going to that house." And so as much as we had said to them, like, trust our discernment, if we say, please don't go to that house or please don't talk to that person, you know, we just said, you're going to have to trust our discernment. They use their own discernment the entire time, because discernment is something that we talk about quite frequently with our kids. And all three of our girls decided not to go to that house. And I was so thrilled. They were like, no, I'm not going there. That's so ridiculous. It's not worth it. And sure enough, some of the other kids went there and a guy in a Scream costume from head to toe is like handing out candy all slow and creepy. And I was like, I'm sure some people are into that, but I am not, my kids are not. And then we went on to the next house. But there were a couple of other houses that if they did not enjoy the decorations or they were getting a weird vibe from it, they would say, we don't want to go to that house. And they would just move on. And I was so proud of them in that moment that they were able to discern that some houses didn't feel as safe as others. Some houses, you know, there was an obvious vibe that potentially someone's going to jump out of that bush over there at that house with all those super creepy decorations, as opposed to this one with the little smiley pumpkins and the light on and the grandma sitting on the porch. So I was really proud of them that they were able to exercise their discernment, and they did it well and seamlessly. It was awesome. But of course, the only house they talk about from the entire trick-or-treating adventure is the one with the super creepy doll on the rocking horse with the glowing eyes singing a creepy song. So, harumph. It was a win on many levels. It wasn't when it comes to that darn house. A whole neighborhood filled with beautiful, amazing decorations, and then there's like the one haunted house. I guess it begs the question, is there just always that one house in every neighborhood? I don't know. I don't have enough experience with trick-or-treating in multiple neighborhoods to really know. So will we do it differently next year? I have no idea. I made it a general rule of thumb in our house that we're not going to make plans for something until the time is close or the time is upon us, because it's unrealistic to say what it is I think we might do next year. So just as an example, like, I don't promise that we're going to go get ice cream on Wednesday after the dentist, because so much could go wrong or change between now and Wednesday. So instead, I like to present things to my kids, like, I'd like to take you to your favorite ice cream shop as a special treat after your dentist appointment on Wednesday, but we'll just have to play it by ear. You know, we'll see how you're feeling and see if they're even open that day. But I'd like to do something special for you, since going to the dentist takes a lot of bravery sometimes. I was just thinking ice cream. And that is usually really well received, because all day long, I feel like our kids are demanding that we make promises that we'll get them this or get them that or take them here, or you said today you would do this. Those sentiments come up so frequently in my house that I try to tackle them using that technique of, I really don't know how it is I'm going to feel that day. I don't know how it is I'm going to feel next Halloween. The kids are going to be a whole year older and different then, so we'll see. There are hundreds of days between now and next Halloween, and there will be plenty of opportunity to talk about it more. And besides, it's Thanksgiving and Christmas time, and the world is telling us it is time to move on to the other holidays. But I would love to hear how your Halloween went. You know, upon reflection, how did yours go? Have you taken the time to reflect, or are you already on to Thanksgiving or Christmas? There is no right or wrong answer. I'm just really curious about how it went for other mamas and families. So if you would do me a favor and hop over to Instagram and leave a comment under this episode's post on either my main page at Lori Beth Aldridge or my podcast page, which is really more of a space holder for easy episode reference, and that one is at Elevating Motherhood. But chances are always high that you're going to catch me at Lori Beth Aldridge instead, because that's where I spend 99% of my time, over on the gram. I look forward to our conversation over there. Thanks so much for checking in and doing this reflection time with me. I hope your reflection time goes well and that your journey into the next set of holidays is going well as well. As always, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to share the lineup of episodes I have recorded for you. They are coming out soon. Stay tuned and take good care. That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.